Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UWO Claire Blue Golds podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. Dan, Nick across the way. School's almost over with, if you can believe that.
Crazy.
Finals.
And, finals week or next week.
We got regular seasons wrapping up for sports and such, so it's kind of weird to say that the season two is almost coming to a close right now.
A certain somebody in the office that we both know very well decided to tell me that, you know, we're only 4 months away from start of the football season.
So I know this person?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 4 months away from football season.
They may be a guest on next week's
podcast. Okay. See, I thought he'd be like all gung-ho with golf, you know, and you know, getting ready for golf season and such, because it's a big time, you know, next couple months for him.
Yeah, I don't know how much he hasn't talked about it lately.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Right? So, have you been out to the course at all yet? Around here, I know you've traveled.
Yes, did that. Played, was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
Okay.
Just a random Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Had some buddies that were passing through, and yeah, we actually got six of us.
Nice.
Finished in like 4 hours.
Okay, 18,
so,
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kept pace, but it was good. Didn't lose, I mean, I think the goal this year is just not to lose golf balls.
And you're still on that goal?
Yes, still on that goal.
All right.
So keep the golf balls in the bag. And.
So shall we, speaking of golf, should we start there? Because that was kind of our latest one that just wrapped up with the regular season, at least, the men's team.
Yeah, literally wrapped up last night.
Yeah. I know it's the unofficial WIAC championship, right? But, I mean, they defended it, and boy, those scores that came through. With that team.
Absolutely dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a testament to show, like, the work that those seniors and, you know, the entire crew has kind of put in. It was really cool not only seeing the scores after day one, but seeing how they capitalized it on day two. And I think for me personally, like, seeing where that program has always kind of been, like, right on the cusp and, like, right on the outside NCAA tournament-wise, and not having a conference so they don't get that AQ, you know, I still think there's a shot that they're not done.
Right. That's what I was going to kind of ask you next is, do you think there is that open possibility?
It's not as clear and cut, which, I mean, NPI isn't clear and cut, but it's not as, like, black and white as some of the other sports.
Okay.
Just the data that's presented out there. And there's not, like, a sheet I can go and look and say, okay, these 43 teams, you know, are in, and the, you know, 21 auto bids are at-larges. It's not 21. I think it's, like, six. Like, here's the remaining teams based on, like, where they rank. Like, we have that for softball, football, basketball, right?
Right.
Go back and listen to our NPI episode. But
yep.
I don't know. Like, they played so well this year that I don't want to like, say it's kind of a disappointment if they don't make it. I just, it would be heartbreaking. It really would. Because, I mean, some of the, like, even the seniors this year, like, such a good core group who, you know, basically kind of devoted their lives to. To not only school, but, you know, Blue Gold Golf. And it's going to be huge. Those are some huge shoes to fill.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. That's the beauty and the curse of of college athletics. But yeah, to have two guys kind of share the top crown with Fred Moody and Alex Sosnowski, like, It was a good weekend.
Absolutely.
Good weekend for them.
Definitely. And, I mean, way to cap off the year for the women's team, too, right? At the Stout Spring Invite, their best finish of the season, finishing fourth out of 11 teams.
Yeah.
Over there.
Going out with a bang. You know, 20 strokes behind, you know, the first place team. But, you know, to finish fourth out of 11 teams, that's...
You just saw consistent improvement throughout the season with them, too.
Right, and I think that's where talking with Coach Skinner and Coach Walk, you know, they have a larger size class coming in of recruits, but I think that's where the depth will definitely help. Because, I mean, I think they only rocked with, like, five golfers.
Man.
So, I mean, to be able to, you know, put out a full team and possibly, you know, even like a second team in some of these tournaments and just,
right,
you know, continue to gain that experience and and hone in on their skills, like, could be a sleeping giant coming.
Yeah, coming definitely. Its way. So definitely cool to see that it's trending in a really positive direction with that. And with Coach Skinner involved in it too, you kind of knew that was probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Considering what he's done with the men's team too. So, baseball, while you talk about fishing on a positive note, baseball team, last two games of the season, going up against River Falls this past Saturday in a doubleheader. They were close ones, but they got both victories, 2-1 and 3-2 in extra innings in that final game.
What an awesome day at the ballpark Saturday. Friday was terrible, just weather-wise.
Right.
I mean, it was like misting the entire time. We didn't see that in the forecast. We had to push games back. Start time-wise, just to, you know, make sure that the ground was safe and prepped, and you know they split on Friday, and then a shift to Saturday, and you know a couple, you know, it was senior day, and so you know with that you know it's always the question of, you know, are the emotions going to get to the seniors with their possible, you know, final competitions, and the seniors they showed out. They really did. So you know, for a starting pitcher like Brennan Cohen, who's been here, well, you know, battled some injuries, and you know, finish on a high note with 8 innings pitched, and you know, to get a win in his last Blue Gold start was fantastic. And then game 2, Carter Vieth walk off home run on senior day. Like, you can't draw it up. Like,
exactly.
And like, it's a storybook, you know, ending.
Yep.
So
definitely,
definitely good to end the season on a high note. Still some work to definitely be done. But very, very excited. I think they didn't put the nation on notice, but like I think they kind of just said don't forget about us. Forget about us in the off season, or do, and then we'll surprise everybody next March.
Did have somebody send me a photo from one of those weekend games. Shout out Chico, but I'll show it to you right here. It was a Blue Gold outfielder. Not a bad background right there to that. Had to show that to you over there. So shout out for that photo. So,
well, I think did we talk about who put all the signs up for the Express?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It was the Blue Gold baseball team. Yeah, because Sammy was talking about it when we were talking to her too, and gave a nice shout out to you guys and Coach Riley.
Yeah.
So because it helped them out a lot.
Which, have you been to the ballpark recently?
Yeah.
So where the old scoreboard is now stationed.
Yeah.
That video board's gonna be sweet.
It is, and that's gonna be a game changer for you guys too. So,
more work.
What?
Nothing. You heard me.
I did. So, softball—they're still at it. We got the WIAC tournament coming up, and this is something we've been talking about for a couple weeks now. When we get to this point, it's kind of anybody's ball game, and still feel that way. They've got Stevens Points for their first matchup, who they faced earlier on in the season. They split with Stevens Point. So this is going to be a heck of a tournament, isn't it?
It's going to be – I think that's almost an understatement. It is going to be very eye-opening. So for the last – oh, gosh, I should really know this. I'm going to say 10 years. Robin will probably fact-check me on that. But it has been – for the last – for however long I've been here, WIAC tournament was always double elimination. Right, so you're always guaranteed 2 games. It was a 3-4 day tournament based on the weather and how games, you know, went, everything like that. This year it is one and you're done. Right, so it is single elimination. So,
okay,
to like it really comes down to, you know, being able to make sure you can play your best ball, especially when you look at how the conference kind of shook out this year.
Yeah,
everybody was splitting. Right, so that kind of gives you the sense that like you kind of throw seeds out the window, right? Other than, you know, the one and two seeds get a bye. They don't play Friday. They just play Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it really could – it could get wacky. It could get messy. I will say, as far as, you know, the Blue Golds match up with Stevens Point, these are two very different teams than when they were back in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Just where they're at, playing-wise.
Because I think they both began WIAC play against each other. So, I mean, that was,
they opened the WIAC schedule against mm-hmm. each other. So, very different teams. I know Eau Claire's been battling some injuries,
mm-hmm.
Looking to get some key players back in that regard. But again, it truly is one and done, right? Mm-hmm. So you have 21 outs.
Yeah, put it in that perspective.
Wow, I actually did math in my head.
Nice.
this early. But yeah, right?
Unless there's extra innings.
True. Yeah. True. Right? So, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I look at it from the side of, you know, some of these seniors. They only got 21 outs left, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it is... I don't want to think that way, right? Mm-hmm. Because especially this senior class is one of the first classes that I kind of got involved with within the team and started traveling with Blue Gold softball, you know, down for spring break and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
this senior class has been fantastic to just watch them grow and become the tremendous young women that they are today,
mm-hmm.
and leaders. But It's going to be a fun weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a fun weekend. I was joking with the Whitewater SID. It'll be my first ever time on Whitewater's campus.
For you?
Yeah.
Really?
Never been there.
Oh, wow.
Never been there. So.
Okay. That's surprising. Just never worked out that way?
Yeah. I think it was, well, because it's like what? It's a 3-hour drive,
mm-hmm.
right? So usually those longer trips. If and when I would travel, usually try to keep it like under two.
Okay.
But yeah, just never have never really had the opportunity, maybe.
All
right. Because last year's WIAC championships were at Oshkosh for softball. The year before that, I didn't travel with the team. Yeah. And we've never gone to regionals.
Mm-hmm.
Same with like other sports, like basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't able to go to the women's basketball WIAC championship 2 years ago when they won it in Whitewater.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll be a fun weekend.
Is that the last one you haven't been to for the WIAC? Have you been to every other member school for the WIAC?
Wisconsin-wise.
Not counting Beloit, because I know now they're in the WIAC for hockey purposes.
Yeah, so. I never went to Northland either, though.
Okay.
You know what? Oshkosh, I think, is on there, too. I don't think I've ever been to Oshkosh. Okay. LaCrosse, actually.
You just said it.
No, I didn't. I stopped myself. I don't think I've been to the schools southwest of us, either.
Okay.
But that is where I took my ACT.
Okay.
It was on that campus.
Gotcha. So you have a little experience there. So,
so yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun weekend, like mm-hmm. I said. So just then, I was talking with Robin about it, just like... With how day one is set up, right? You have the five plays six. Yeah, five plays the six, three plays the four.
Okay,
I think.
Or is it 3-6 and 4-5?
It is 3-6, 4-5.
Okay,
we were joking though that it's basically 5-6, 3-4 because points haven't had done here. But then going into Saturday, you know, does being the three or the two seed, is it even worth it? Because the one plays the winner of the 4-5 game
mm-hmm.
in the morning, and then the two seed plays the winner of 3-6, and the championship game is right after that second seed game.
Mm.
Right? So mm-hmm. you're playing back-to-back while everybody else is kind of staggered,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and apparently there was a huge, long discussion about it during the coaches' conference call, and you know, which one makes more sense? You know, does it make more sense for the highest seed to play first and then have a break? Or does it make sense for the highest seed to play second on Saturday and then carry that momentum?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It'll be a test. So.
Absolutely. So definitely something to pay attention to. First game is Friday?
Friday. Yes. So
all right.
And with that, I mean, if we look NPI-wise, Blue Golds are in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They're still above that cut line. So. You know, barring any other upsets, there's already been at least one or two upsets that we know of and some other conference tournaments. So we'll be paying attention to that. And
okay.
I didn't bring my laptop in today, but I had to show you the spreadsheets that Robin's been pumping out, and it like kind of made me feel a little like I'm slacking a little bit because I think it's her competitiveness,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And just wanted to dive throughout the numbers. Like it is pretty cool. Like what we're now able to do with NPI, right? Whereas in years past, it's like you can't read people's minds. You mm-hmm. don't know what the committee was thinking here and there. You have an idea. And I think the cool thing is one of the sheets that she has made is breaking everybody into regions, right? So that used to be one of the biggest things when it was a committee decision for the tournament, was looking at regional rankings, right? Usually 4 or 5 teams out of the region, right? Where mm-hmm. where you kind of land based on AQs and stuff like that. Well, you look at our region, we're currently the 8th ranked team in the region. And yet we're still above the cut line. So that says a lot for
yeah.
softball here in the Midwest as
Absolutely.
Far as like having some decent teams.
Heck yeah. That's really cool.
So.
And regionals start right after too. So, I mean, there's
very next weekend. Yeah. yeah.
So
we'll see. Got to get the job done
mm-hmm.
Friday. Hopefully stay overnight into Saturday. You know, mm-hmm. make it easier on ourselves. Win a couple games on Saturday. Come home with some hardware. And
yep. Definitely.
There we go.
Let's move to track and field, because we just had the WIAC conference tournament, men's and women's team both finishing second in conference behind, yeah. But as you've mentioned,
the
many
school
times,
that shall not be named.
And you look at their schedule. I mean, they still got stuff, you know, coming up this weekend, and then you know final qualifiers, but then the NCAA championships in a couple weeks coming
yes.
up here too, and that's the big prize
that's...
right now.
That's the big trophy
mm-hmm.
when you really want to lug around.
Right.
So, but yeah, you know, kind of a different lineup from both sides. Some
mm-hmm.
some top athletes just getting some rest, which, you know, opens the door for, you know, other athletes to, you know, compete at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, both teams taking second. Just two individual champions, Blake Pulser in the 400-meter hurdles, and then Jacob Ekwe. In the discus, they just continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about, geez, I'm looking at the list here, like 15 second or third place winners.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, you know, then equals out to the second place finish. So
right,
they're rolling, and like you said, I mean their schedule. I was actually looking at this last night. I was like, it's got to be, like we got to be like right around the corner, and they still have close to like half a dozen meets
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's what kind of shocked me. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. You know, WIAC championship is over with, but they still got plenty of other opportunities to get some work in before the big dogs, the national championships.
Right. And again, a lot of that is just seeing, you know, it. And the way we do it is, you know, even if we're only sending 2-3 athletes to some of these events, like,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure it's on the schedule. But it's an opportunity for, you know, either athletes to post lower times or,
mm-hmm.
you know, hit further distances on
right.
the field. So,
yep. Attendance-wise, I know this was a couple weeks ago, but just to kind of wrap it up, I know the men's team, I mean, they finished off their season on a really hot note. I mean, winning out over at the John and Faye Menard Tennis Center. So that was a couple weeks ago. The women's team falling to Whitewater in the championship for WIAC team, but... still, I mean, a lot of positives from both these seasons, right? Looking back at this,
100%, and I think that's where you can look back at it, and obviously for a lot of our teams, NCAA competition is, you know, is the goal. It's
mm-hmm.
obviously still the goal for both the men's and women's tennis programs, but you know, Whitewater is kind of a powerhouse in the WIAC, and you know, like we talked with Liv and Sam,
yeah,
you know, getting past that semifinal, past the school that shall not be named, like that was huge for that program, and you know, they battled hard with Whitewater,
mm-hmm.
But just ended up coming up on the short end of that, and like you said, the men's side, you know, playing well at home,
mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the key things when we're talking about college athletics is how you can, you know, utilize home court advantage.
Yep.
And they did it well this year.
Mm-hmm. And then the lacrosse team this past weekend, I mean, you talked about it a few times, wanting to host, being that Wisconsin team to host the WIAC tournament. You got that. You hosted. Just fell a little bit short against a really good Colorado College team in the championship game this past weekend.
Yeah. And that's that. It was a fun weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It truly was. Not only to, you know, to host, but to see just some quality women's lacrosse mm-hmm. across the board. I think we only had one game hit the 10 goal running clock mark. But it was a fun weekend overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I know talking with some others, like having it Friday, so we played it inside mm-hmm. in Sontag.
Yep.
Everybody enjoyed that on Friday when it was like 40 degrees and rainy, right? Wish we could have, you know, shifted it outside for Saturday, but the field was being used. So, mm-hmm. Overall, great way for them to kind of end their season. You know, it's their first time to the WIAC Championship Final.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, they just ran into the powerhouse that is Colorado College. And
mm-hmm.
and so they kind of got a taste of it, which is good. I think they have something like 6 or 7 seniors that'll be graduating.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're too low in the MPI for them to, you know, continue playing the NCAA tournament. But I think it was good for them, especially with some of their younger starters,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of get that experience against a very good team and kind of be like, hey, like, We can hang with these teams sometimes. So
mm-hmm.
very, very excited to see where that team kind of what it blossoms into during the off season, what recruits we see coming in, and
right.
and how, you know, transformative that program can be.
Absolutely. All right, we covered all the sports. Why don't you give us a little bit of an intro of our guests coming up here? Because you, man, this one's solo. You're not going to hear my voice in the second half.
Yeah, so I hope everybody continues to listen. They don't just tune in to hear you.
They only tune in to hear you, man. That's it. So,
So we had Brett Farmer on last year,
mm-hmm.
And we brought him on from his story at the WIAC Championships, you know, being a swimmer, trying to learn how to dive in a very short amount of time, and you mm-hmm. basically contributed to the team. And coincidentally, he was also the student body president, and so kind of getting some insight with that. Jason had then kind of put it on our radar, put it on my radar back in like, November, I think, just from a standpoint of the relationship that we have had this year with this year's student body president and vice president, and how influential they've been for athletics. And so I had the pleasure to sit down with student body president Sam Consiglio and vice president Zach Jacobson, and just kind of talk, you know, their views, right, between student senate and, mm-hmm. and athletics. And it was a very good conversation. I don't know Sam as well as I do Zach. Zach worked for us in the fall as a photographer, and I've known Zach almost his entire time here at Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fantastic interview. Just being able to, the one thing I told Jason is, you know, to sit there and listen and have somebody like Sam, who is highly regarded around campus, not only just as a student, but as a leader in that position, and to learn that, oh, hey, yeah, she was at every single home men's hockey game. Right? Like, that is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And again, like, Jason put this idea in front of me in November. Their schedules are so gosh darn busy.
Right.
We couldn't get him in until last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or this week.
Right.
So I think it was really cool, again, to just kind of sit down with them, kind of pick their brains where they see athletics from their point of view. They're both graduating here in the next week, next Saturday, I think.
Is it next Saturday already?
Yeah, I think commencement's next Saturday.
Wow.
So we record on Monday. I think Monday night they what do you call that? Shifted the power.
Oh, transfer.
Transfer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So transfer the power over to I don't know if they've decided the next student body president or not, but
a peaceful transfer of power.
Yes, regardless. It was a good interview. It was fun talking with those two. Very, very grateful for everything that they've done for athletics, and very, very fortunate. Very similar to Chancellor Jim in a sense of, you know, they are some of our biggest supporters, and that's key. And we can't do what we do for our student athletes without them.
Right, exactly. So, all right. Before we get to that, though, we got a quick word from our sponsors. And any final notes before we get to that?
Where's time gone?
Yeah, right. No kidding.
So, final episode of season 2 of next week.
Next week. So make sure you're tuning in to that one. But all right, let's get to a quick word from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back to wrap up this episode of the Rollin' with the Gold podcast.
BSN Sports, a proud supporter of Blue Gold Athletics, is the largest provider of team sports equipment and apparel in the country. With more than 40 sales pros that live and service schools in every corner of Wisconsin and beyond. BSN would like to thank all the supporters of Blue Gold Athletics that share our passion for enhancing the student experience. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives, and that's the real final score. Learn more about how BSN can save you time off the field and court, giving you more time to impact lives of student athletes. Contact your local BSN Sports sales pro today or visit bsnsports.com.
Hey, sports fans, there's no better feeling than when you're watching your team dominate. But remember, when the offseason comes, you can still channel your team spirit with a fresh coat of color. Ask Sherwin-Williams how you can make every day feel like game day with over 1,700 colors and a top-tier coaching staff to bring the energy of your team spirit home. Shop online or visit your neighborhood store today.
And we're back. Second part of today's episode. Dan cannot join us as we are doing this later in the afternoon because these guests that we have on today are so busy that this was kind of the only time that we could find to get them away from their busy lives, as well as their excitement from graduation coming up here in a little bit. So we had the opportunity last year to speak with Brett Farmer, the former student body president. And that kind of just got us thinking, you know, Jason and I were like, you know, we have a good enough relationship or a very good relationship with both, you know, you two, and just kind of get a little different perspective, right? Because we hear from coaches and players all the time on what they see, but to kind of see it from student senate side is unique. And I think it's a story that, you know, not only telling your guys a story, but also, you know, kind of just giving people an inside look into how, you know, athletics kind of cross paths with, you know, the rest of the university. So welcome to the Rolling with the Golds podcast, former student body president Sam Consiglio and former student vice body president Zach Jacobson.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So to start things off, kind of just tell us a little bit about yourselves and, you know, how you ended up at Eau Claire.
Yeah. So my name is Zach Jacobson. I am currently a fourth year, and I'll be graduating here with a degree in social studies education. I'm staying in town to teach at a school called Venture Academy, so I'm really excited about that. And I really ended up at Eau Claire just because it was kind of the Goldilocks campus for me. I grew up in Eagan, Minnesota, so didn't want to go too far from home, still a little bit of a homebody, but wanted to make sure that I could, you know, get out of the nest and try to find somewhere that I could, you know, really grow as a person. And wanted to go into something around taking care of people, so nursing or education, and Eau Claire had it both, and I just, yeah, I was really drawn to, you know, the beauty of campus and the size too, I think has just been, and I've seen that, you know, in our, you know, teachers and professors and staff and the ways that we can interact with everything like that, and even with the athletics department, the ways that I've been able to interact in with ways through photography and other ways with athletics that I would have, you know, never dreamed. But yeah.
Nice. I'm Sam Consigli. I'm a fourth-year geography major, minor in actuary sciences. I am a first-gen student, so I was touring every college under the sun, it felt like. Eau Claire was actually not on my original list. My parents were like, you should go tour a size like Eau Claire, like, I think you'd like it. I toured here, fell in love with the campus, made a pros and cons list. It had so many pros. I was originally an actuarial science major, so they had a really great program for actuarial sciences. And then kind of along the way, realized my love for maps and placemaking for people and stuff like that. So kind of fell in love with geography. And yeah, from there, I've gotten involved through a lot of different things.
That's awesome, just to kind of show the diversity that this campus has, you know, two prominent leaders on this campus, but not necessarily going into like the poli-sci or, you know, leadership standpoint, you know, geography and then, you know, teaching. But my first question for both of you is kind of, how did you get into, you know, your roles? Because from what I know, being a student here, there's a whole like campaign per se, you know, you see all the signs in the campus mall and stuff like that. But like for you, Sam, how did this process kind of come about? Like, when did you think about becoming student body president? You know, were you involved in student senate prior to that? And then, you know, how'd you end up with this guy to your left as kind of your partner in crime?
Of course. So me and Zach actually met freshman year, Towers Hall Council. Before I came to college, I was not involved in student government. Like, I helped out with, like, prom in high school and, like, all of that stuff, like, event making, I guess. But I was not super involved in our student council. But when I came here, they had a free ice cream thing for our Towers Hall Council, so I decided to go with my friends one day, got roped into the Residence Hall Association, like, rep position, and I was like, yeah, this could be kind of fun, like, doing events on campus for upper campus. And that's how Zach and I met. He was doing J-Board at the time. And from there, it all kind of fell out. One of our housing coordinators, my freshman year under Student Senate, Katie Loff, was graduating, and she was like, you could get paid to go to meetings that you're already going to. Like, you might as well. You could have so much fun. That's how I found Student Senate. That's how I met Brett Farmer, who was the prez last year. I was VP under him. And from there, I have fallen in love with helping other people, quite honestly. It was kind of just like I wanted to make a difference in the world. That was kind of what I fell into. It actually ended up making me change my major because I wanted to not just do actuarial sciences for the rest of my life. I wanted to make an actual difference at a city and work with a community. So from there, Senate kind of helped me find my leadership style, helped me find my community, and pushed me to be a better person. So, yeah.
And then Zach, for you, I mean, like Sam said, she was VP under Brett, so she kind of, you know, just kind of stepped up. How did she find you?
Yeah, so I was worked under UAC. Brett is a common theme throughout this, but I worked under Brett as a UAC chair, and then kind of a little weird thing happened 2 months into the year, so then from UAC chair I became director pretty soon on. So I worked as UAC director for the rest of that year, and then the following year, my junior year, and then it was kind of just early last year, Sam was like, I need to have a meeting with you, and I was like, interesting. So we sat down, and she proposed the idea that we run together, and I was like, you know, I think that'd be really awesome. And yeah, like she said, the opportunity to impact students and represent students in a way that, you know, some students even don't even know Senate exists. We want to do our best to make others aware of what we do and the ways we want to help students. And so I think it was somewhere where I felt I could make an impact, just like Sam said. So
I think also in addition to that, like, one of the reasons I chose Zach, quite honestly, is because, like, his leadership style and the way that he views his university is different than mine, but we've both shared the same value of wanting to get students involved and, like, actually making that impact. Because, I don't know, under UAC, he saw a lot of people get involved, but he also saw a lot of people not get involved. And I think I saw the same thing through, like, RHA and, like, all the stuff that Brett and I were doing at the time. So one of the main reasons that I picked him, and we work so well together, is because just that common theme of wanting to make a big impact on this campus and see it tangibly happen, I think, is kind of what ran through our campaign.
Well, I think you hit it hard on the head right there. Like, just the different amount of people you see, you know, even in your day-to-day classes. I'm sure geography majors didn't have the same buildings as, you know, the education majors did, but, like, being able to see it from so many different scopes is such a huge, I mean, even in athletics, you can see the same play, right, from the coach's point of view versus the player's point of view, from the fan's point of view, mm-hmm. right? Even from, like, the commentator's point of view.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's awesome, you know, just in that sense of being able to see one thing and being able to, you know, to give yourself
so many different angles at it, I think is a recipe for success. And from what I know, you guys have worked out pretty well together, right? You're both still here, so Zach didn't get under your skin a little too much.
No, never. He kept me calm, actually. He was probably one of the saving graces.
You probably did that for me, too, when you were an intern with us this past fall.
When you spend an entire year, Brett and I were the same way, but once you spend an entire year with someone in Student Senate in those offices and the roles that we did, you just, like, you know each other, what each other's thinking at one point. So it's kind of nice.
Awesome. Now, we're going to kind of turn it back to athletics a little bit. One of the questions that we had asked Brett, but I do want to kind of just ask both of you, is just, like, how do you see the role of athletics kind of shaping the campus culture and the student life, right? Because I know when you go into, like, I'll use the website, for example, right? Like, every once in a while there's an athletics photo that shows up. And one of the things that we try to promote is, you know, when you have a Saturday and you don't really have anything going on, well, we have a football game, you know, at 1 p.m. at Carson Park. But, like, how do you see athletics and how in your guys' time here, kind of helping with that?
Yeah. I think it really creates a sense of belonging, almost. A lot of our students, like, we have mascots, we have stuff that they can identify with, but it's not until you're at a game rooting for someone that you feel at home, like you feel within a community. So I think it's a driving factor for a lot of students on our campus to have athletics, quite honestly. I don't know, personally, like, I feel like freshman year going to a football game, I felt a part of the crowd, and, like, homecoming especially, like, that's kind of everything that it's centered around. So I think that's really interesting to see in our students, but.
Yeah, I agree. I knew being a three-sport athlete in high school, I, you know, didn't necessarily want to be an athlete in college. I didn't know exactly what my plan was, but I knew I wanted to be involved in some way. And I think pretty soon after I came to school, I saw that, you know, Eau Claire offered something pretty special with athletics. I think we had a ton of success around my freshman year. That's when the women's volleyball team won the national championship, and there's definitely a buzz that goes around campus when that happens. You have people talking about it and wanting to go to the games and stuff like that, and we were packing, like, McPhee, I think, every one of those regional games and stuff like that. And so I think as you think about touring campuses and where you want to go, I know plenty of people who told me, I want to go to a D1 school because I want to see athletics. And I think that doesn't change here. I think we can almost set a culture that can create that, even though we're not, you know, that's not, I don't think that's who we're trying to be. I think we have created something that's really incredible around athletics, where we have, like, high, like, top-notch athletics, where we are a lot of, like, I would guarantee that most people on this campus are very good friends with an athlete, because those athletes are here to get their degree, and they're here to be super, you know, engaged with our community, and I think make our community grow, which makes it really awesome. When you have, you know, 900 whatever plus athletes, it's really cool to see the engagement that you can have with, like, the full athletic teams and club sports and everyone around campus that shapes that culture. When you go to a game and you can cheer for them, when you meet an athlete in class and you have a class project with them and you can really just engage with athletics in a way that's a lot more personal, I think that's what makes, you know, Blue Gold athletics neat.
I think you hit it right on the head, right, in a sense of, like, there are students that go to D1s for the, you know, for that experience, right? Mm-hmm. They go to Madison for Camp Ramdell for Jump Around, mm-hmm. right? I think in the D3 atmosphere, though, you can still get those experiences. They're just going to be a lot more close-knit. And exactly like you said, I mean, I know students who aren't athletes, but, you know, do some work for us, and they know exactly who the athletes are. They're like, yeah, so Jimmy's in my business class, yeah. And Sharon's in my, you know, communications class, yeah. And, like, I think that's something that I don't know if it's not talked about enough, or if it's just something that, you know, it is just such a close-knit and kind of unique thing here at the D3 level that it's not like a big selling point, but when people kind of realize that and they get to experience it, it's something that they truly do take to heart and mm-hmm. and makes their experiences better.
Yeah, for sure. Nothing like a WIAC playoff game at Hobbs.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. So with that, like, where do you see athletics? Because you had kind of alluded to it, Zach, you know, just how fortunate we are to have
you know, sports that are competitive, right? And, you know, it seems every year at least one team makes it to the national tournament mm-hmm. in some regard. Not a lot of schools get that, right? Yeah. So, like, how vital of a role would you say athletics truly does play to campus?
Yeah, I'd say athletics plays a very, very pivotal role when it comes to, I think, when the good gets greater. I think when you have that success, when students see the successes, when you have athletes who are seeing those successes, I think people want to buy into that program. And I think when you create something that really is appealing for students, they want to, you know, they want to keep coming back. They want to keep going to those football games because they see success. They want to go to the volleyball games. I think you can almost create fanatics around certain students where they're like, yeah, me and my friends go to every single hockey game or every single volleyball game just because they love the culture and they love being there. And so I think athletics just plays the role on campus of being some, like, that activity, that thing that people do that really connects them to campus. On, you know, Thursdays, on Tuesdays, on whatever, I go do, you know, yoga, or I go do this class. But every time that the soccer team plays, or every time volleyball plays, I'm there with my friends, sort of thing. And I think it just gives students a way to connect with the university, but then also have that connection, have that pride around being Blue Golds, I think.
Yeah, I think off of that, just, like, this year with hockey too, like, me and my friends are big hockey fans, so, like, going and watching those games, like, there's no other feeling than pride in that stadium when you're, like, watching all the, like, stuff happen, I suppose. I don't know. And I have a lot of friends who are freshmen that were going for the first time, and, like, having that culture around it makes them want to keep coming back for more and kind of just builds up that Blue Gold spirit, mm-hmm. pride type of deal, which is super awesome to see just kind of continue down the road.
Do you two think that there's a next level for us as an athletic department, right, in kind of being in the the higher up spectrum, if you will, that you guys kind of are, right, with your positions? What is the next level for Eau Claire Athletics?
That's a good question. You want to do it?
The question that I remember asking Jason one of our first meetings was, what would it take to go D1? And I think he had a very good – what I always say about admin and people in positions on campus is they always have the answers. You just have to ask. And so, like, if I have a question about something big on campus and I'm really curious, if I go to admin, they have a very in-depth, detailed answer about why something is the way that it is most of the times. And so I feel like we had a really good conversation around that. And I feel like he did a good job, like, reframing what that looks like. Obviously, what we provide in athletics and the, like, vast variety that we provide in where we are, I think gives us almost a step up to maybe some other schools that have very few athletic teams, but we are able to have, like, a broad variety of athletic teams. And I think the next step is almost what we're taking right now. We've seen, you know, the huge investment by the Sonitegs into our, you know, basketball teams and other sports teams who are using this facility. And even for you all working in the athletics department, just having the facilities that can support, you know, softball in the winter and baseball in the winter and golf in the winter to help take that next step. And I think ultimately, it's when you have those teams. You know, I've always heard about, you know, when Zorn used to get filled up by the women's basketball team, when this used to happen, and I think we're starting to see that now. I think it's becoming the era of, oh my, like, when Sonitegs was packed last night for the basketball game. Oh, this was packed last night for X, Y, or Z event. I think is that era we're coming into where it's, you know, you look at the WIAC and it's not, you know, eyes aren't always falling to River Falls, eyes aren't always falling to Whitewater, but you're starting to, you know, travel north a little bit with some of your, you know, people are wanting to come to Eau Claire. They're seeing, you know, the amazing facilities we have, but not only that, just the community that we have around it and the support that the community has, because when you get community to buy into some of these teams, I think that's when you take that next step, when it's like, we got to get to that Blue Gold game. You wouldn't believe, you know, how well they're doing this year. So
I think you're also seeing that with some club sports too. Like, I know women's rugby the last couple of years have been starting to pop off, and you see people, like, getting more invested and going to the games and, like, hey, this Saturday, do you want to just hop over and watch a game or two or something like that? So, like, I agree with Zach. I think that next step is kind of that era that we're coming into of that investment from not only, like, our students, but the community of Eau Claire, and kind of coming into that full power almost.
Now, you had kind of touched on it a little bit, but, like, how have you two enjoyed, again, you both have been here for four years? Yeah, 4 years. Like, how have your experiences been working with coaches, athletes, admin staff within the athletics department?
absolutely amazing. I'm not a student athlete, but I somehow know just like their faces from being around, going to games, and like the investment that our faculty and staff and admin have into athletics shows on the student body side, I would argue. Like I constantly see Jason at games. I constantly see admin at games. So having that buy-in, I think, from coaches, faculty, staff, all of the people, really help on the student body standpoint, especially when you're not a student athlete, because you want to buy into it as well.
Yeah, I'd say I've had a lot of ability to interact. I worked on staff with university as a photographer and then on staff with athletics as a photographer. And I think all of those gave me just a really awesome insight to what the experience is. And seeing the questions you all are asking and in the administrative office for athletics, the questions you're asking about, how do we do this? How do we do this better? How do we elevate this? And then just working with the athletes and the coaches after a big win, you know, getting some photos and just the energy that they bring to that and the appreciation, I think, is also really awesome. Where, you know, I'm doing my job, they could just say, you know, I'm expecting this guy to do his job, but, you know, getting emails or DMs and just appreciative messages really make, you know, it makes you feel good about being a part of the Blue Gold family and that, you know, what you're doing really matters for those athletes too.
I'm really glad I didn't scare you off in your short time working with us, which is good. You really could have put me on blast there. I know I said this isn't usually live, but I probably would have kept it in for honesty's sake. Do you guys have a favorite, like, Blue Gold sports like memory or moment? I know you had kind of alluded to the 21 volleyball run, so we're gonna say you can't use that as an answer, but do you have a favorite moment from, you know, these past 4 years, or maybe not even a moment, but like, you know, a run like that?
I'd say probably the biggest one, just because I felt really connected to them by the end of the year, was this year's men's soccer team and the run that they made in the NCAA tournament. I was, you know, started going to a decent amount of those soccer games early on, and then they started to really, you know, they were really on fire, and so I'm going to keep going back to more of these. And then you were telling me you need to keep going back to more of these because we need to get content of them. And as you go through that WIAC tournament, there's nothing different. Like, I told my friends, I remember coming home from one of those soccer games, I go, dude, I didn't know soccer could even make your heart pound until tonight. And it's like, you're sitting there and it's like 0-0 with 2 minutes left, and then finally you get an incredible goal. And it really, like, honestly changed my perspective on soccer, because I just had no clue how electric it could be and just how, like, when you really get into it. And so I think that had to have been my favorite run, and just watching all of them like rally around each other, even when their important players, Nathan Donovan, got injured, and you had the team rally around, you know, trying to, you know, make a difference for, you know, for their teammates. So I think that probably would be one of my, you know, my most incredible ones. Or the like 5x overtime hockey game against Bethel. That was a long
time. You have a fond memory of that?
Yeah, well, it was just, I remember it was so late. I was like, but I'm like, I can't leave now. I'm so committed to this game. I'm like, I don't, yeah, I just have to be here. But
yeah, I had to be there. Yeah. I didn't have a choice. Yes.
Yeah, going off of men's hockey, I was at the winning game. It was just like having all of the students in the crowd, like, pounding
on the WIAC championship.
Yeah. Oh, that was just pound on that glass, and just like, I don't know, like, mom heart happy, I suppose. But like at the time, it was just so fun to see, because we had been, like Zach was saying, going back to turn like a bunch of games just the entire year. And like I said, I'm not a sports person. I am like, I try to get to games as much as I can, but men's hockey was one that I was following for a while. So like to see it kind of all come full circle and just like have not the entire student body, obviously, but like a lot of the student body behind this team that just won, and like some of the players crying because it's like their last game or whatever. Like, it was just so cool to see. And I've just never felt that in Hobbs until that moment. I was like, wow, men's hockey, so good.
Unfortunately, he is leaving for other things, which I think for me personally, I'm happy that Chancellor Jim is finding something else he wants to do. He's finding a new challenge that he can conquer. What was your guys' kind of relationship with him, and what have you learned from working with Chancellor Schmidt?
He has been a really close mentor to me, personally. Working with him last year and just the following years too, kind of less direct, I suppose, but these last 2 years working with him on a lot of different projects, he has been instrumental to the success of this university. And you see it just like tangibly how it's changed over the last like 10, 12 years with Sonatag, with Garfield Ave, with like all of these buildings that are coming up around campus. He's kind of set this precedent that this small Goldilocks size school in Wisconsin can be a really, really great place to build a community and find a foundation for college students. And it's been awesome to work with him. I think I've been able to find a leadership style under him just as like a mentor. Like, I really look up to his leadership style. So it's been really, really cool to kind of see that side of everything.
So. I think as a leader, I learned that all you do is ask questions. Whenever we would go into our meetings with him, we'd sit down, question after question after question. Even, you know, not only him, but a lot of the admin. You sit down, it's just question after question. And they are just so eager and curious to hear what you have to say. And I think as a leader, that just defines who Chancellor Jim is. Chancellor Jim isn't someone who is going to come and tell you this is exactly what you need to do right now. He's going to come and ask you questions. He's going to, as a freshman, so many people know him as, you know, they're asking, where are you from? What are you studying? What do you love about Eau Claire so far? You know, even what could we make better about Eau Claire? And just the questions that he asks are just so genuine. He wants, he's curious about your life and wants to know, you know, who you are and what you like to do. And I think that is what sets him apart as a leader. Oftentimes my vision of leadership was misconstrued, that you need to be the one telling people what they need to do rather than the one that's sitting back asking questions and learning what I can do to serve you better as a leader. And I think that's really, he's been instrumental in that way for me.
It's funny you say that, because that it kind of just sparked something in my mind. Like, Jason always talks about, like, never being complacent, mm-hmm. right? Always trying to find that next level or to find the next best thing and stay ahead of the curve. Well, how do you do that? You ask questions, mm-hmm. right? You ask the students, what do you want to see out of our social media? How can we make, you know, facilities, locker rooms, how can we make things better? Like, yeah. And that is, it directly aligns with them, which is probably why they get along so well and, yeah. and that stuff. But I think you both hit it right on the head in a sense of, like, until you said it, like, I'm pretty sure every single interaction I have, and I'm not, you know, wasn't student body president. I'm a nobody around here, but, like, it was always a question, right? It was a very formal, you know, nice greeting, but then it was always, you know, how is this team doing, or what do you got on tap next week, or yeah. what do we think about, you know, how do we think this team's gonna, you know, go? And I think that's, you know, part of it, I think, is conversation yeah. pieces, right? But at mm-hmm. the same time, I think it shows that general interest in it, mm-hmm. right? And I, not that, you know, our chancellor needs to know every little detail like I do about our teams,
yeah.
right? But just to be curious and to lead with curiosity, I think is a huge component to who he is, and yeah. I think that's why he's made this place so enjoyable, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's why he's still destined to do great things yeah. other places too. Mm-hmm. I got two more. One of them, you might know who told me to ask you this, but if you had to be AD for a day, you have all the power within athletics. I don't know financially if you'd have all the power.
I was about to say, raises for everyone.
I should have clarified when this question came through, but raises for everyone. I like that. What would you do? What would you do as AD for a day? It doesn't have to just be
a
day.
I would first go to the merch closet and grab all the blue gold merch I could. Because if I was AD, who's going to stop me?
No, because my answer was going to be I was going to take one of these branded couches. To merch. Like, honestly, just kidding. No, but actually, though.
So after I steal all the blue gold merch, not steal, use for work purposes, I would do that.
Way to clarify.
I would check the calendar to see what games we have going on. And then I would probably... I would go as the AD, I'd go to all the teams, I'd get all their captains together and ask them, like, how, like, their ideal jersey design, and then I would be like, let's go buy even more jerseys, because I love all their jerseys, but I remember as an athlete, I always loved, like, jersey, like, being able to, like, because I think look good, play good, I think it's honestly, you know, there's a motto you need to live by a little bit there, and so I think it'd be fun to do some, like, player design, like, jersey stuff, or do some, like, cool, like, jersey collabs with, like, people and stuff like that. Because I think we got some sweet jerseys. But, I mean, if I could just, you know, use as much money as I want to give every team even more jerseys, then I would do that, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'd go up to all the captains and just be, like, one thing that you need changed. Like, give me a list of one thing that your team needs changed right now. and we're gonna do it in a day, 24 hours, which I think that's possible after I steal the couches for sure.
So we're losing money because we have to replace the couches that have been stolen by Sam.
Hey, and but okay, here's the
is
thing.
This every year we're getting new player jerseys?
No, this is just for my day.
Just
have to
just
pull
for
this
your
off
day.
Rather quickly.
Exactly. I think 24 hours, it could happen for sure. But
I mean, when there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly.
Or I'd use all my connections as AD to contact, like, I'd go, if I got, like, Jason's phone or something like that, I'd find all the famous people on his phone and call them all and be like, here's Zach's email address for when I can't.
How many famous people do you think he knows?
I don't know, more than me, I would assume. Or he's probably got at least, you know, people around. If I want to maybe do something in sports one day, I got to start making my connections now.
You know what? I just thought, I think we're going to have him on next week to kind of wrap up this
season. Jason, don't give
season.
Zach your phone.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have to worry about that. But, like, who do we think the most famous person in his phone is? He probably won't tell us, but that, I'm going to ask him that next week.
It's probably some professional baseball player.
100%.
It's, like, I don't know if, like, how high up, but, like, someone, because I'm trying to, like...
I mean, he was on a team with Barry Bonds.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I think he's got to have some sort of, like, connection to professional baseball in that aspect. And so, yeah, I'd say probably... I'm not super versed, but...
Well, he's got a relative that was... I don't know if Alex is still in the MLB.
Okay.
But he also played professionally for a long time, so...
Or connections, like, with the Twins or something. Because Twins and didn't, like, his past university have connections with the Wild, too?
Yeah, yep.
So I would envision, like, maybe connections, but I'd say probably
there's a lot of people.
Yeah, when he played baseball.
Maybe we should get our hands on his phone.
Yeah, who is the most famous person you have when you're
see what connections we can make. Final one before we hit our lightning round, where all the hard-hitting questions truly come.
Okay.
What is one or two pieces of advice you would give to incoming freshmen here at Eau Claire? Can be regular general student or student athlete.
This is generalized. Get involved. Like, that is the one thing. If you do not take anything away from your college experience, you need to get involved in one thing, whether that's going to games, whether that's being a part of a club, like, whatever it is. I just think... college, people make this out to be just like you're here to get a degree, like that's what you're here for, but at the end of the day, these 4 years changes you just so much, and I don't think, like, as a freshman I fully comprehended what it would do for me until I got involved and did all of the things and, like, found a lot of the reason behind my why of, like, why I want to do stuff. So that's my one piece of advice of, like, you need to get involved, because college is more than just a degree. It's at the end of the day, it's a 4-year experience that's going to change your life in some way, shape, or form. So do something.
Yeah, I would 100%. That's the verbiage that came to my mind, was find your why. Find your why to why you do everything and why you get up in the morning and why you do what you want to do, because I think that is what will drive you. When you know why you're here, when you know why you're at this university, when you know why, you know, you want to do what you want to do, I think that just helps, you know, drive you in a way that, you know, is like nothing else. And my other bit would just be, find the things that you really love and pour into those things 100%. Our Dean of Students, Greg Heinzelman, says if you're not 100% into something, you're not going to get anything out of it. And so don't be 50% involved in a bunch of things, but be 100% involved in a few things that you can really make an impact in. I think those things are going to change you. So,
wish I would have had those pieces of advice when I went to college here. But all right, now time for the hard-hitting ones. Rapid fire. Favorite food?
Pizza, homemade from my pizza oven.
Okay, we're coming back to you.
Oh,
go ahead. Pasta, okay. We'll touch on yours in a second, Zach. Sam, type of pasta?
Okay, so I'm Italian. My dad makes a really, really great pasta that takes 24 hours to make. Like, literally all day we're stirring this pot of the sausage, literally everything that you can imagine in pasta. So it's that.
Homemade noodles and all that stuff too?
Not homemade noodles. Like, the entirety of the sauce is just homemade. Takes like
24 hours.
Just takes so long to make. So
must
yeah,
be pretty good.
That pasta.
All right, back to you. And you can both answer this one. Does pineapple belong on pizza? Don't think too.
This is the thing. Like,
if I would have brought a pizza, would you ever order it?
No, I would never order it, but if it's the only thing at the function, I would leave it on the pizza.
So if I just brought out a Hawaiian pizza in front of us while we were doing this, would you eat it?
I probably would have a bite.
Yes.
Yes, but it needs to be paired with the right stuff. It can't just be like pineapple and like other random stuff on this pizza. Like, it has to be a good combo. And maybe I don't like Hawaiian pizza for sure, but like, I don't know, just needs a combo in there. It can't just be like pineapple and random stuff on this pizza.
Taking it 1-1. You're kind of a no. You're more of a, yeah. I agree. I mean, Canadian bacon, pineapple. Exactly. It's like the best. It's the only way you can do it. Favorite thing, favorite hobby outside of school?
Pickleball.
I like hiking. I like going on long walks.
Pickleball, eh?
I love pickleball.
You play in the winter?
We
inside?
Play a little bit inside, but once you get outside, it gets a lot more fun.
Yeah. Sam, have you hit like state parks, stuff like that around for hiking?
Oh,
or?
Yeah. State parks. Me and my friend took like a whole Door County trip one summer for like 4 days and just camped in her car and just worked our way through Wisconsin Thumb and back down. Nice. All the state parks camping. Such a great time.
Favorite movie?
Ooh, you have to go first. Oh my goodness. Okay. Here's the thing. I have a top three, and like it rotates, and one of them is Home Alone, and it's just a good movie all around. People are like, oh, it's a Christmas movie. No, it's like a top three favorite movies of all time for me, behind that Parent Trap and Notting Hill. Pretty, pretty good. Pretty solid.
What would you say the third one was?
Notting Hill.
Notting Hill?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've not.
Chill. It's a nice little rom-com. But Parent Trap, Lindsay Lohan, classic. Can't go wrong.
The Greatest Showman.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
That's so on brand for you, actually.
I really like it. I like The Greatest Showman. I think it's a very, I'd say like, or I like any, most Adam Sandler films are good too. But The Greatest Showman is probably my, like, I sit down and watch through that whole thing.
Adam Sandler isn't in The Greatest Showman.
No, I know, but or any,
I was like,
I'm saying or any Adam Sandler film.
Because that's the one with Hugh Jackman,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
favorite music?
I listen to like Christian, country, and folk music, mm-hmm. So a little bit of everything. But and I'm pretty much open to anything. When anyone's like, "What do you want to listen to?" Anything. My brother listens to like only R&B. My dad listens to only rock, and so I'm pretty much I'm an open book when it comes to music. You turn it on, I'll listen to it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like I feel like I'm just a combination of all my friends' favorite music genres at this point. Like I don't think there's a top one. I have a lot of friends that like Noah Kahan, so I suppose that's probably making its way up the list. But yeah, just everything, I suppose.
Anything you're currently binge watching, or the last thing you binge watched? TV
Reacher on Amazon Prime. I like my buddy, like his parents, we were up at his cabin one weekend and they were watching it. We watched like six episodes straight until like 3 a.m. with his parents. So it's very, I'm not a huge like TV, like I usually don't have enough time to commit to sitting down to watch an episode. But when Reacher was on, we watched that. So
yeah, I like sitcoms. So I'm currently working my way through The Big Bang Theory, but like in order, because I've never actually seen it in order. So
do you have plans to watch like the most recent ones? Are they spinoffs?
It might be
like Young Sheldon.
I think if I have time, I will. I need to get through all the classics first, mm-hmm. though. Know the backstory. But
favorite book.
Gosh, these are hard hitting questions.
I don't read that much. I had a question from the person who's writing my reading curriculum for where I'm teaching next year, and I like responded to her question. I'm like, I haven't read many books in my life, but there's a book called Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle. It's a Christian book, but it's probably my most recent read, but most recommended to that. A lot of my buddies, I make sure they get their hands on that. Mm-hmm. So good book.
Yeah, I feel like right now it's one that I have to read for my like, I don't know, geography stuff, which is Life and Death of a Great American Cities, which is a great book. It's so good. There's some really good content in there. But I can't think of, like, I don't know. I feel like that one's pretty prominent right now in my life, unfortunately.
Who would you say is the biggest influence in your life?
I'd say one of my friends, Jordan Widener. I met him my first year on campus. He worked on staff with an organization called The Navigators, and so I got pretty involved through him. And, yeah, me and him met weekly, and we worked out together every single day last year. And so we were, yeah, huge, huge impact in my life to shape me to kind of who I am today. So he's been, yeah, someone who's super important to me.
Yeah, I have a lot of faculty that have been pretty important to me. Like, I don't know, Ezra Zettler, Ryan Weichelt, they've been awesome. But also Brett Farmer has been, like, influential in my time here. I feel like I wouldn't be the same person that I am without meeting him. So there's a lot of people here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are kind of top three.
A lot of good people.
A lot of amazing
people. I would, yeah. Amazing is actually probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
I think that's where, you know, even me as a college student, you know, changing my major and how seamless it was to change majors. And it was funny, like, I remember going through, like, visiting colleges and the amount of times people said, well, like, X percent of college students change their major, so, like, don't get discouraged if you have a change of heart or something like that. And I was like, no, I'm going to Eau Claire. Like, I'm sticking with my one major and nothing's going to change my mind. And yeah, sure enough, a year and a half later, I changed and here we are. So yeah.
You get into one department and they're like so awesome. And you're scared to switch departments, but you find the exact same like support system in the other department, which is super awesome.
Right. Last question I have for you two. Where do you see yourself in say 5-10 years?
Yeah, I'd say the school that I'm teaching at is brand new, and so it's really like gonna be neat as they grow the school and grow into like looking at a high school concept. So I'd say, who knows? That could be, you know, a few years. I could spend most of my time there, but also I would love to get involved with just athletics in general in one way, shape, or form. So we'll see if coaching is something I definitely want to get involved as a coach in some level. So we'll see if that's where I land. And who knows? I love to quest around and go on trips and stuff. So maybe I'll land myself in Europe or something like that. But I'd say I feel like I see myself in Eau Claire for probably five, 10 years, but we'll see what happens.
Just keep that camera on you. Yeah, just exactly. Just in case I get no bind and need you to show up.
Exactly. So I'm going to grad school next year in Seattle, Washington. So
fun.
Moving out there for 2 years.
Have you ever been to Seattle?
So I visited over spring break and fell in love with the campus. It is stunning. So I'll be at University of Washington doing urban planning for 2 years. Hopefully in 5 years I'm working at a city, but where that city is could be in Seattle, could be here. I'm hoping to come back to the Midwest at some point. Like long-term plan is settle down in the Midwest somewhere. So we'll see. But that's kind of the goal, work at a city.
Awesome. Well, Zach, Sam, thank you guys for taking time out of your day to come to chat with me. And thank you. I think I can speak on behalf of, you know, myself, our admin staff, and the entire department. Thank you for all that you have done for us. You know, even from, you know, small little things with, you know, making this fitness center available for, you know, all students to, you know, just helping us open this place. But, you know, cheering on our teams from the stands or the videos and photos that you took, Zach. So we really appreciate what you guys have done for us and looking forward to seeing, you know, how many other lives you guys can impact in the future as well. But congratulations on graduating. It's finally here. Well, we have still finals left.
2 weeks.
Right?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
Just got to teach for a few more weeks.
Yeah.
Done,
so. Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks, guys, for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you so much.
For everything.